Welcome to Slapshot Podcast, episode number one. I am your host, Christopher Morris. Thank you so much for being here with me. I'm super excited to relaunch Slapshot Podcast after a long hiatus of about 3 years, to be exact. It's been a while. I'm excited, like I said, to be here, to get this going again. The timing just, everything came together at the same time. I have a lot more time in life now to dedicate to podcasting. I enjoy doing this. I enjoy Slapshot Podcast and everything that it brings. I hope you enjoy it as well. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. I hope you stick around. If you are from the old podcast, right? This will be, I guess, 2.0, if you want to look at it that way. But if you listen to the original Slapshot Podcast, welcome back. Thank you so much for being here as well. I'm really happy I get to do this. Like I said, life is just, it got busy, and I'm glad I get to do this again. It allows me to talk about hockey, specifically fantasy sports, because that's what this podcast will be dedicated to. Season-long fantasy hockey, DFS as well, daily fantasy. If you're looking for draft strategies, if you're looking for different types of just information, whether it's season-long or DFS, this is probably the podcast to listen to. And I'm probably overselling this way too much. You will be let down at points, but that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine, because sometimes I'm going to surprise you, and I don't know when that'll happen. But thank you for tuning in whenever you are. So for those of you who don't know anything about the podcast, here's what we're going to do, okay? Today's episode, we're going to focus on draft strategies, specifically leading up to your fantasy hockey draft. It's around the corner. I'm recording this, it's the 11th. By the time everybody listens to it, it's going to be the 12th. But this is the week where I really start prepping for NHL season long. I usually start around August 15th. That's just that I've given myself a date, and I usually stick by it, where I start to look, and I start to get in, and I start to break down some numbers. And probably towards the beginning of September is where I'm going to have some rankings come out to help people, you know, pick the right players for your fantasy hockey team, right? Isn't that what we're all looking to do? So I'm excited to get this podcast running now. I'm excited to talk about draft strategies because a lot of people have questions about it. I'm sure I have questions about it every year. I'm always looking for an edge somewhere. And I'm always looking to get as much advice as possible from anybody who will talk strategy, whether it's an expert who does it, whether it's the guy on the corner of a street or in a coffee shop or just a friend. I'm always looking for ways that I can better understand fantasy hockey. And it starts with drafting a good team. I tell people every year, you cannot win your league on draft day, but you certainly can lose it there. It's the most important part of your team is setting it up at the beginning. And if you set yourself up too far back, the climb to the top is just too hard at that point. If you don't make the right choices, the right decisions, if you try to just limit the amount of errors or limit the amount of risk, so to speak, at that point, you're going to have a successful league. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be trades, right? All that is, you know, subject to change the outcome, obviously, of whether you have success or not in fantasy hockey. But if you have a good draft strategy heading in, chances are you'll get a good start and then you'll just, you know, better your team from there. If you just don't screw it up, you should be good. So we're going to take a look at some draft strategies. Like I said, I have 1, 2, 3. I have 6. I guess I'm not going to call them rules, okay? I'm going to call them, you know, guidelines. Because first things first, before we even get into it, there is no right way to fantasy draft. There is none. And there's no, golden rule, or there's no, you know, there's nothing, there's no Excel spreadsheet that we can just give you and say, hey, do it this way. There's none. And regardless of what anybody tells you, you can't do it. Every draft is unique. Every draft is different. And if you walk into, you know, if your draft, whether it's online or in person, and you try to stick to whatever you've done before or the strategy that you've put in your head, if it doesn't go that way or your draft takes a turn in the first 3 minutes, your entire strategy is no good. You haven't practiced other scenarios. You're going to have a bad draft. It's going to be tough to win. So we're going to look at some guidelines. And you can choose what you want to use. You can choose to use none of it. It's fine. This is how I go about drafting a team when I show up to the table. So there's six rules, like I said. The first one, and I know it's cliche. We all talk about this. You're probably going to read it a ton over the next couple of days. But it's know your league rules. Every year, somebody shows up to a draft that I'm in, and they have no idea what the scoring system is. They have no idea how many playoff teams make it. They have no idea how many rounds, how many bench players. If your forwards are just forwards, if they're broken down by position, it astounds me that people show up to a draft so ill-prepared. And knowing your league rules as well goes down to, you know, the scoring system as well. It's the most important part, and you don't need to take many years to study this. If you've been in a league for a while now where you know the, you know, your league rules, fine, keep it there. And sometimes I know I have other leagues where sometimes the league scoring changes from year to year, right? Certain things get voted in, certain things get voted out. It's important to be up to date on your rules because this is what's going to help you prep for your draft. Right. So, for example, if your league, for whatever reason, you know, goalies have an edge. Well, you know, you need to know this. You need to know that maybe the point system set up for goalies, you know, favors them more than skaters. You need to know this because maybe goalies start going off the board. Or if you know, let's say, that your league will start only two centers versus five, you know, maybe centers go off the board quick because you don't have enough. If your wingers are broken down from left wing to right wing versus just wingers, same thing with how many utility spots you have if you use it, how many defensemen you're starting. You need to know how many. And just write it down on a piece of paper. What I do is I write it down on a piece of paper before I get to the draft. I know if I'm doing it online, it'll tell me, right? It'll show me my slots of what I have to fill. But I also like to do it on paper just so I know before what I'm looking at and how many rounds you're going as well. Same thing. Just know the general rules, right? There's multiple ones of your drafts. And just, yeah, like I said, I know it's cliche. I know everybody talks about it, right? It's the one thing everybody says, know your rules. But like I said, some people just show up and they don't know. So that's the first one. That's the guideline that I tell people. Just take 10 minutes. Don't do it like 10 minutes before your draft, right? The minute your, you know, league manager renews your league, if it's online, or if you have a group chat somewhere, just ask if there's any changes, ask if anything is done, and then just study a little bit. If nothing's changed, good. You can skip the first one, keep going with your life. The second guideline that I usually tell people to follow is always get different draft material. And what I mean by draft material is different rankings. Most people will go with maybe one source of rankings. You'll either, you know, from your fantasy content provider, you'll take those rankings. Somebody you'll trust. Maybe you'll build your own rankings. Maybe you're old school. You get it still from a magazine. You head to the store and you pick up, you know, the hockey news or whatnot. I usually like to head into a draft. I build my own rankings, obviously, but the information that I get when I build mine, I will still bring in different draft guides, whether it's cheat sheets or guides or whatnot. And I'll do a lot of pre-work before I build mine. And I'm not telling anybody to, you know, take time and to build your own. You don't have to do that, right? But there's a lot of good material out there, and there's a lot of terrible material as well. But the most important part, though, is to get different schools of thought. Because you can be reading something where this person focuses more on that. And at the same time as well, most of, let's say, the rankings that I build are tailored towards, you know, head-to-head points, 12 team leagues, right? So if you're using that, sometimes they won't even tell you, you know, what they're building it off. If you're in a 20 team league, you're going to have different needs. And if your scoring system is not built the same way, again, different needs depending on it, right? A head-to-head points league, maybe draft guide, is not built for a rotisserie league, obviously. So I like to get, I like to focus in on what my league is, right? First off, no matter what it is, know your league rules. And then get some material that resembles that. And the most important part is if you combine it or you see where these people are going, why they're ranking players, good draft guys will usually have, let's say, a, you know, like a sleeper or a bust section, a reach or a nod, or they'll have comments about why, you know, certain players are being taken this level or what's a bounce back. Just go through a couple of different materials because that way you get a general rule of what everybody's thinking. And what I try to avoid, right, by, well, the reason, I guess, here, I'll explain this better. The reason I use multiple ones is because let's say some, you know, people print out, you know, if you still use ESPN, let's say rankings, right? When those come out, you get the top 250 rankings of whoever's writing it there, okay? Well, everybody has access to that. And if you're hosting your league, let's say on ESPN, there's probably a couple of guys in your draft who are saying, well, I'm going to click on these rankings. And now everybody's using the same rankings, right? Try to differentiate yourself a little bit. And if you have time, build your own with the consensus or look for, let's say, draft guides, right, from your fantasy content provider that has consensus rankings. And it doesn't have to be a lot of people, right? You can have four people putting their consensus together. You can have 12. You can have, you know, whatever it is. But you get a general idea of where everybody's ranking certain players. And you can form your own opinions as well. If you want to build your own consensus rankings, right, with Excel, go ahead. That's usually what I do. I'll get about, let's say, 8 or 9 different draft guides, and then I'll just put mine together, insert my own information that I find certain things are more important than others in terms of, you know, let's say if I'm targeting players who, you know, my league, let's say, focuses a lot on goals. I'm looking at stats from previous years or trying to look for information about goals and stuff like that. But I'm always going out to get different material because I'm going to get different opinions and I want to understand those opinions. So I never use generic guides. I'll never, like, everybody, like I said, some people just show up at the draft. I have in-person drafts and you see like 3 or 4 guys with the same draft guide in their hands. And you're like, well, you're all on the same boat now. So how are you going to gain an edge if everybody's using the exact same information, right? That's what I try to do. I try to avoid having the same information. I will use Yahoo rankings. I will use ESPN rankings. I use them very lightly just because I said, because there's so much information. There's so many people using that information. Somebody's bound to stumble on it anyways. Same thing with, let's say, you know, a magazine. Let's say I'll pick one up. I always do. But I'll usually downgrade a little bit. You know, magazines, you buy them early. You know, stuff change, things change, you know, sometimes that information, depending on when it was published, you know, if you get it a month later, most of that information might not be up to date anymore. So I try to target rankings where I know somebody's going to update them as they go. So that's the second guideline that I tell people, get different material and get a consensus of what's going on. It doesn't matter where you're getting it from, but I usually tell people, get about 3 sources. If you have 3 sources, you're pretty good. And if you want to use, let's say, Yahoo and ESPN as one source, that's fine. You can get 2 others. If you want to grab a magazine and, you know, your fantasy content provider, boom, done. You've done well. So that's the second rule. The third rule, and this one I can't stress enough, is mock drafts. Do as many as humanly possible without, you know, obviously putting yourself in a position to get divorced, right? But do as many mock drafts as you can do because this is going to give you inside information. If you can do it with people in your league, even better. I try to limit the amount of mock drafts I'll do, let's say, with people in my league, just because I do not want to give away my draft strategy. So I will take, let's say, unless your league has something crazy where, I don't know, you start like five goalies or something. But most leagues are pretty basic, right? You can grab, let's say, on Yahoo, they have a whole bunch of mock drafts, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 team leagues, whatever you want to do it. And then I try to draft from different positions to see what kind of team I'll build. And this is the most important part. If you know prior to your draft where you're drafting, this saves you a lot of trouble. Because you can do a couple of mock drafts from that position and then see what kind of team that you build based on different types of strategies that you have. If you don't know where you're drafting, there are leagues like that where it's randomized, let's say, an hour before you start. So you have no idea where you're drafting. If you've spent your entire draft prepping and you do, let's say, two mock drafts drafting, let's say, in a 12-team league from the sixth position, if you show up at the draft and you're drafting now in the 11th position, like you've prepped all this and you know what players you're targeting, but you're not going to have a good idea of what's going to be available. And my favorite part about mock drafts is you can, you know, I always go to the end of a mock draft. I don't stop after I've done, let's say, 10 picks and just let it auto draft. I go all the way to the end because I want to dig deep and see, let's say, on these platforms, if you're drafting online, where these players fit out. Because some people will do some prep before, but a lot of people will fall in like the players that are available and then just, you know, queue them up. A lot of people don't go that. They go through the list of, you know, players on the screen and they're going through and they're seeing where their rankings and, you know, let's say for Yahoo, they have their projections and they'll say, well, this player is going to have these many goals, and they sort them by goals, take the player with the most goals. That's not what you do. Do not rely on what's in the draft box, because, and I tell people this all the time, ESPN and Yahoo have two different scoring systems, two different ways of projecting players. You can find one player in one on one site who might be ranked, you know, 20th, and he's ranked 42nd on Yahoo. There's a huge gap, huge discrepancy between two. But if you're following the list of, you know, players still available come draft time, you know, some people don't look far enough and say, well, I can't take a player who's ranked 42 on Yahoo when I'm, you know, when I'm having the 21st pick in the draft now. Right? I'm in round three and I can't take a player's projected to go round five. That's not how that works, right? That's why you build your own rankings or get a consensus. And then you go through your rankings and just find the best player that's available. And you can only learn these type of strategies by mock drafting. You'll see what other owners are doing. You'll see what they're targeting. If you can find, let's say, a mock draft where it has your exact league settings, your exact league size, right? If it's in a redraft league, if it's in a dynasty league or whatnot, obviously I'm talking, right, this is all for redraft, of course. But if you're targeting these kinds of mock drafts, you're going to have success because you're going to know what's coming come draft time. And if you don't know where you're drafting from, because some leagues don't, you can now test out as many different draft spots. If you're in a 12-team league, I suggest doing at least 12 mock drafts from first to 12th. That way you have a strategy at least once. I would, if I'm in a 12-team league and I don't know where I'm drafting, I'm doing about 18 to 20 mock drafts before. About three times each position just to see different things that I'll get. This way I can look back. I always save as well because on most sites, I think you can save your mock draft and go through and see, you know, what the strategy I used in that draft was. Did I like my team? Did I not like my team? You know, did I reach on certain players? Which players were falling? Which players were, you know, going up? That's a good general sense of what other owners are doing as well. And again, if you can do it with others, I'm not going to, I mean, I don't do this very often. I'm not worried about this draft strategy because I show up to my draft and I'll go based on the flow of whatnot. But when I do it with other people who I'm in leagues and I mock with them, you know, I'll try different strategies, but I want to see what they're doing and I want to see what their strategies are. What players are they taking where? And are they reaching on these players or are they fading these players based on my consensus? So if I see, I don't know, if Evgeny Malkin's going 25th and someone takes him at the 11th overall, you know, well, why did they reach? What are they looking for? How are they building that team? What information do they maybe have? Or are they just going on a hunch and saying, nah, I just want to do it that way? These are all types of things that I, you know, I'm dying to know. So again, if you can do a ton of mock drafts without, you know, putting yourself in a position to get divorced or neglecting your children or, you know, staying up until 4 a.m., if you can do as many mock drafts as possible, do them. Because this is how you're going to build a better team. This is how you're going to get good at it. So when you show up at the draft table, you're ready to go. Nothing is going to fear you. So we've gone through three now. The fourth suggestion that I have for people, and this one as well, super important to me, it's always draft the best player available. And now that you're at the table, right, or you're in front of your computer, wherever you're doing, I know there's a tendency, and this is, maybe it's a little bit more specific for hockey than other sports, like football and baseball or whatnot, but I always tell people to draft the best player available. And if you're in a league, let's say, where goalies have a premium, or defensemen, or forwards, whatnot, usually it's for goalies, you try to scale it out, right? But if you, let's say you're looking at the projections on, you know, Yahoo, and you see, let's say, and you're in a head-to-head points league, you know, the best, you know, Connor McDavid tops out at, I don't know, 500 points for the year. That's what he collected. And the first goalie on the board, let's say Vasilevsky, tops out at 850 points. There's a general rule of thought here that, well, maybe most owners are going to start drafting goalies earlier because there's a higher, you know, their ceiling is higher to collect points. So all of a sudden, let's say there's a run of goalies that go off, or goalies start to go super early, or defensemen do, or whatever it may be. I always tell people to draft the best player available, regardless of his position. If you end up starting your draft with three centermen, it's fine. Don't look to make your fourth pick a winger or a goalie just because. If there's nothing in that position, and if you have the right, you know, if you've done your homework, you've done your mock drafts, you know what's coming later, don't necessarily reach on a goalie because you see them going off. That usually happens in a draft by the third round. All of a sudden, third and fourth round, goalies start going crazy. And now you're after, let's say you're after four rounds, and all of a sudden, I don't know, 15 goalies have gone off the board. And now you're pressured to take another goalie. I know you don't want to fall too far behind, but my general rule of thought between drafting the best player available is that your lineup is not set in stone, by the way. Like, you can trade players. And you can always trade good players for good players. So if you're loading up in a certain position, you now have an abundance of something, which means somebody else, there's another owner who doesn't have enough of it by default. Nobody drafts an abundance of everything. Everybody's got a point where, you know, or a certain spot in their roster where they're lacking something, whether it's wingers or centermen or goalies, or defensemen, wherever, right? If you've drafted a ton of centermen, you can guarantee yourself there's another owner somewhere who, maybe he does have centermen, but he doesn't have quality centermen, and he's going to be looking to upgrade. And maybe he has more of something you need as well, because obviously you're lacking somewhere else. So always draft the best player available, regardless of his position. And this usually falls between, let's say, the wingers, if you have exact positions, let's say left wingers versus right wingers, right? Saying, well, I need to draft a right winger because I already have two left wingers, a centerman and a goalie. I need to draft a right winger now, and maybe the next right winger is, you know, far down, or he's not that great, or there's better value left on the draft board, and you're not exploiting that because you feel like you need this player. If your draft is done early enough as well, you have a ton of time before the season starts to, you know, move players. You don't have to. I tell people maybe you shouldn't make a ton of trades before season starts. Definitely don't make a ton when the season starts, but there's no need to reach on players just because of their position scarcity. You will find it. It's always nice to draft, I guess, in that case, players with multiple position eligibility. That always helps. But always draft the best player that's available. Take him. If you have too much of something, you can trade later. Figure it out when you cross that bridge, but don't handcuff yourself at a draft table because you feel like you need to pick this player here. Don't do that. Next, target volume players. This one I love because sometimes what happens is you'll see owners downgrade players, and mostly it happens with goalies. You'll say, oh, this goalie is bad. He's on a bad team. And I'll say, okay, that's fine. But again, if you know your league settings, right, and this falls for goalies, I want goalies who play a lot of games, right? That's what I want. Maybe they're not the best, but I definitely want goalies who play a lot of games. I want forwards who play a lot of minutes. Defensemen play a lot of minutes as well. I want guys who are going to be on the ice a lot. And when I specifically say by volume, I want them in scoring situations. So I always look to target players, even if they're on a bad team, okay? Because the Red Wings are going to be garbage this year, right? But I'm still going to target players from that team because I know they're going to get an opportunity to do things. And that opportunity is to score goals, right? If you're obviously fantasy hockey, if you're in a points league, it's about getting points, head-to-head points or head-to-head categories. It's about getting as many players who can rack up points or different types of, you know, things, shots, penalty minutes, whatnot. But target volume players, and I specifically look at players who play a lot of power play time. Because if you're a player, even if you're on a mediocre team that doesn't score many goals, if you're on a team like that, but you're getting a lot of power play time, I like that. Because the power play is about scoring goals, right? Best example, Habs had a terrible power play. But if I'm targeting players from the Montreal Canadiens, I'm going to look at players, yes, who are good, but who also play power play. Because maybe these players fall in the draft. You say, oh, well, they're not that great. Fine. But if they're going to get top power play minutes, the volume is there. It's still a risk, but I'm going to put all my chances on my side by drafting players who play a lot. And the best player, I think, in this example for me is, I know last season I drafted Anthony Mantha, and he was outside of the top 100. And he was kind of like slipping, nobody is really sure. This is a player who scores goals, like he can score them. And even though he's on a bad team, he's on the top power play minute, he's playing top power play minutes and all that. Like, that's the type of player I want. If I'm going to look at terrible teams, sometimes people say, well, I'm not drafting players, let's say, from Anaheim. They're no good. They finished, like, terrible league. Or this year it's going to be exactly, oh, the Ottawa Senators are garbage. I might fade them. Well, there's still players on that team who are going to score goals, right? Ottawa, they may not score 200 goals this season, but maybe they score 165. And it's not much, but somebody's going to have to score those goals. So I'm going to look at players on that team and say, well, who's going to play on the top line? Who's going to play together? Who's going to get power play time? And these players are systematically going to fall in the draft, right? Because the projections that, let's say, ESPN and Yahoo have them not getting very many points. But if I had the opportunity between taking, let's say, a third line center on the Pittsburgh Penguins, whoever's going to play there, or a, you know, top line winger for the Red Wings, if I'm going to find players at that point, I'm comparing them, I want the player who's going to get the opportunity. I want the player who's going to get the ice time. I want him to be in a favorable situation where he's going to be playing a lot of minutes. This is the same thing with defensemen. I want defensemen who are on the ice all the time because they're going to get an opportunity, especially now, you know, there's a lot of teams that run four forward power plays. So I'm especially targeting defensemen, you know, who play on the power play as the sole defenseman. Because those are slowly, you know, disintegrating. You're having less, you know, two defensemen on a power play, more four forwards than a defenseman. So there goes another scarcity at that point. I dig through these numbers, and I always look for volume. That's the strategy that I've used now for a couple of years. It's worked out well. I just target them because these volume players, maybe they get hot at some point. Maybe all good things start to happen and they start scoring goals or whatnot or racking up points, and then maybe they become trade bait. Maybe you sell high or maybe not. I target these players and I can't I can't stress this enough. So that's another one that I like. The final one here that I love as well, and this is kind of, you know, this is, I guess, to you, and most people do it. I'm not going to call them sleepers, but I always try to target high upside players. And high upside players are usually rookies, right? But I'm going to look outside, you know, let's say coming up for this season, I'm going to look outside of Jack Hughes and Kaapo Kakko, because those are the obvious names. And those players are going to tend, right? Owners are going to tend to reach on them. Rookies are a wild card. You do not know how they are going to perform. And a lot of times, right, the rookie of the year doesn't necessarily, you know, or let's say the top pick in the draft doesn't always necessarily win rookie of the year, for example. So I understand why, let's say, Jack Hughes or Kaapo Kakko is going to go high in drafts. I see the appeal, but I'm not going to reach specifically on those players, just because it doesn't make sense. Good example, okay? Elias Pettersson, right? I think people were high on him. I definitely was last season. I was really high on him. He was going outside, you know, outside the top 125 easily in some of my leagues. And you could draft him way late, right? He wins Rookie of the Year. And I don't think there's not that many people who would have picked him to win Rookie of the Year coming out, you know, straight out of last season. Nobody was saying, hey, Elias Pettersson is going to win Rookie of the Year. So that's kind of the position that I like here. And it's all, there are some players who will, okay, will be drafted first overall and win Rookie of the Year. You think of players like, you know, Nathan MacKinnon. Obviously, players like Austin Matthews as well, same thing. But let's say in the last two seasons, you know, 2017, 2018, Matthew Barzal, right, wins Rookie of the Year. He wins it at age 21. Elias Pettersson was 20 as well. Austin Matthews was 19, fine. Nathan MacKinnon, you know, was the last 18-year-old to win it. So, at that point, it's tough to evaluate upside. But I love taking these type of players. Or I'll look at players who maybe they were drafted a couple of years ago. They have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of time in their system. You know, it's a rookie who's been there. I always leave, let's say, the last maybe two picks of the draft. If it's a deep draft, maybe a third one. If it's a 10-team league, I probably won't. Maybe just one pick to upside. But I always leave some spot for a player, a rookie or somebody who I think has the potential to really break out. And this is later in the draft. This could also be as well, you know, players who had a terrible season last year, bounce back players. And, you know, the name that automatically drops to my brain right now is James Neal, right? Traded from Edmonton to Calgary. No, off it. It's preseason for everybody, right? Traded from Calgary to Edmonton. My bad. But James Neal is going to have an opportunity to play on the wing with Connor McDavid. Like, I want to be a part of that in some way. If the price is right, I want to be a part of that. I am not paying up to draft James Neal in any sense. But in a deeper league, outside the top 75, I probably want a piece of James Neal at some point. Because the high upside there, even if he brings you back 45 points, or, you know, 50. If James Neal can have 50 points, All right, but you're going to find a lot of, let's say, players on the waiver wire who are going to finish the season with 40, 42 points, right? Schedule is 81 games. They play all 81 games and they finish with 40 points. They didn't have a great season. In a 10-team league, they're free agents all year, right? So a lot of this time, and that's especially true as well for, let's say, defensemen, because defensemen, you know, they can finish the year with 25 points or, let's say, 30. That's not great. It's waiver wire stuff. So I'm always looking for high upside players. They tend to be rookies. They tend to be disappointing players. Sometimes I'll wait till the end of the draft for it. I'll also look at players who are going to fall in the rankings. Even at the top, name that comes to mind, Anze Kopitar, right? Had a great last season, did not have a great season up to his start, up to his standards. Obviously, the year before that, I mean, he was unstoppable. So here's a player maybe who's been burned, who burned maybe a couple of owners last season, and maybe he starts falling, and maybe he falls lower. You know, some people pass on him, and I don't know, he's dropping outside the top 50. I don't know, but there's a high upside player in my mind, because if he, I don't know, if for some reason he figures everything out, or Dustin Brown all of a sudden becomes a goat again, and goes off, well, you know, maybe he becomes good again. Maybe he returns on value. That's what you're looking for, right? When you're doing these drafts, you're not drafting, you know, you're drafting upside. You're drafting, in my mind, or from my strategy mostly that I pick, I'm drafting high upside players. I'm drafting volume. I want them to play a lot, and I want them to have the potential to do more than whatever they're projected to do, right? If they do less, that's going to hurt you. But if you can pick players who do more than what, who you think will do more than whatever they're projected to do, sign me up. I don't care where they are. I don't care where they are in the draft, but I'm always looking for high upside players somewhere. Some player that I'm reading something, and this is a lot of times, let's say, closer to camp. You know, maybe you'll find a player who, you know, he's on the bubble of sticking around. He's having a great preseason. I don't put a ton of stock into preseason, but especially for younger players who are playing a lot, they're trying to crack the lineup at some point. Those players want to be there. They want to secure their spot. You know, players, let's say, in a team, if there's an opening in the top six somewhere, a battle for positions there, who's going to be a top line center, second line center, or whatnot, or who's going to get a top six position, you know, I want to get on board with these people. It's important to follow information. It's important to target a couple of high upside players. And your whole draft doesn't have to be high upside players, right? Obviously. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes with rookies, it's really just, you know, they can be a bust, by the way. You know, they can play eight games and then sent back to juniors and that's it. You wasted a pick. Doesn't matter. At the end of the draft like that, if you're drafting them outside to pick 200, well, you're not missing much there. You can only draft a great player or a high upside. And if it works out, good for you. If it doesn't, it's fine. You didn't lose much. So that's super important to me. High upside players, I love that. Those are my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 general rules for draft strategies to follow. And, you know, in future podcasts, you know, I'll look at different types of, you know, specific league types. Let's say we'll tackle, let's say, head-to-head leagues, head-to-head points, roto leagues, head-to-head category leagues, right? Because all these leagues are built a little bit different. Most player rankings won't change. Some players will get a bump. Other players won't. We'll look at deep drafts versus shallow drafts as well, because if you have a deep bench, obviously you got to stockpile the bench because the waiver wire is going to be empty. If we skip back to know your league rules, know how many injured reserve spots there are, if your league carries an injured reserve spot or not, if it allows you, let's say, to have a player in the minors, to have them on their bench and not count against a player, all these things are important to know, because a good prep for your draft leads to a good draft, usually leads to a championship, or at least you're competitive all year. That's the goal here. You want to be competitive. You're going to have injuries. You're going to need to work the waiver wire. We'll touch on that a little bit as well before the draft shows up as well. But it's about being ready. And you can never do too much of anything. You can't do too much research. You can't do too many mock drafts. Don't let yourself get consumed by it, obviously, right? Like I said, don't get divorced. But go through the process, see what you find, do a couple of it, have some fun, and, I mean, it's a good time, right? That's what people are looking for here. They're always looking for a good time, and like I said, these strategies have been good for me. I use them. Those are the six that I use. If I find others, fine. I don't think I will ever take any of these off my list. I just keep adding. Like, at the beginning, I had, I think, like, four. or they'll change over the years depending on, you know, what I'm trying to do. Or again, this is for, let's say, redraft leagues. If you're in a dynasty league, obviously this changes. So know your league settings, you know, have different draft materials, ton of mock drafts, always draft the best player available, target players with volume, and others that have high upside. So that completes this first podcast. Those are the draft strategies that we have gone on for now. So yeah, that's the end of here. I'm not going to keep us all too long, right? It's still early in the season. I mean, like I said, the draft platforms haven't even opened yet for some sites. So we'll definitely check back in. I don't know if I'll do a podcast next week. Maybe I'll do one the week after. You know, like I said, it's August. There's not much to really look at. But if I do one next week, maybe we talk about, you know, draft strategies, go a little bit deeper into depending on your league scoring and how that works out. But this has been a blast. And if you've made it this far, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Thank you so much for following it. The podcast will be up. You can obviously follow the podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe. Please leave a rating. That would be cool as well. 5-star rating. Tell me how much you love it. For now as well, the podcast is going to be on Spotify. I know people love Spotify. So it's going to be on Spotify. You can subscribe to that directly there. You'll get it there as well. I'm going to try to put it up as well on SoundCloud. I still have that, so I'll put it up there. I'll try to see if I can get it onto maybe a couple of other platforms yet. I'm not sure if I want to really do it on any other platforms as well. Oh, yes, of course. It's going to be on Podbean, right? So if you have their app or you listen through directly through Podbean as well. I'm going to put this podcast up, obviously, at the Fantasy Fix. That's where you can listen to it directly from there. Make sure to check out the Fantasy Fix as well. Always a good time there. That's where I do most of my stuff as well. You can follow me on Twitter at FuzzyChris91. You can slam my DMs if you have questions, you want to go over something, you want to let me know how much this sucked, you want to let me know how awesome it was, you know, both ways, doesn't matter. You can follow the podcast directly if you don't want to follow me. You can follow at Slapshot Podcast on Twitter, and you can do that same thing as well. So that sums up the podcast. That sums up where you can find it. I've had a blast. Like I said, thank you so much for being here with me. And we will catch up definitely again in the month of August. Thank you. Have a good day. Go Habs.